MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. The words of the poem were very self-explanatory. They were a means for us to again remind ourselves of our objective, understand the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, and make an intention to bring back the deen within our lives. Such opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with, these are the moments that we should hold on to, we should appreciate, and make that strong intention that these opportunities require from us. This is the very reason why at the Islamic Dawah Academy we encourage that whatever services Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His grace is giving us the opportunity to provide, and through the vision of our Hazrat Walid Ahmad Barakatuhum, we propagate these in front of the masses, and we would want and we wish, rather it is our earnest desire, that people benefit from these. That is why this annual youth conference takes place. That is why on a monthly basis the Tazkiyah Tarbiyah gathering on the first Saturday of every month takes place. Weekly programs take place. Daily programs take place. For both in the English language, in the Urdu language, all for this set reason. That how can we bring this blessed deen inside of our lives, and how can we stay connected to those people who are trying to revive the deen and trying to bring the deen within their own lives and the lives of the others. That is why I request everyone seated here that mashallah you have come here today and we have all attended to this program. Whatever programs that take place at the Islamic Dawah Academy in Leicester, make a note to try and participate in these programs on a monthly basis if you can, if you are from outside of Leicester. If you are from Leicester, on a weekly, on a daily basis. And if it is difficult for you, at least a few times a year you come and you grant us this opportunity to serve the deen in front of you. This is our only objective. And if you do so, it will be an honor, not for just ourselves, but of course an honor for everyone who participates in such gatherings. Not to delay the continuity of the program any longer. For our first speech of the program, I would like to request a teacher at the Islamic Dawah Academy, Mufti Ibrahim Bagas Sahib, who had studied his course of Alimiya here at the Islamic Dawah Academy and studied Bukhari Sharif under our Hazrat Walid Ahmad Barakatuhum, and after which he traveled to South Africa, wherein he spent 2 years at the Madrasa in Azadville and completed his Iftar course, after which he stayed a further 6 months or so studying Hadith under reputable scholars and ulama in South Africa. I request Mufti Ibrahim Bagas Sahib to come forward and share with us his words.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'du fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. My respected elders, dear brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the glorious Quran, the verse which I was honored to recite before you, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Verily those who believe and carry out good actions, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. For them are gardens under which rivers flow. ذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. That is the great success. In numerous verses of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises Jannah, promises the blessings of the hereafter, promises reward upon two things. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. The first thing, iman. Belief in Allah. Belief in His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Belief in all that which is necessary in Islam. And the second thing, العمل الصالح. Good deeds. Good deeds could mean to perform salah. A good deed could be to recite the Quran. A good deed could be to discharge zakah. But paradise and Jannah, at its first instance, as soon as a person passes away, he will enter Jannah. This has been promised on Iman. And we are very fortunate Allah Ta'ala has already granted us this gift of Iman. We have Iman. The second thing is Al-Amalu Salih, good deeds. Good deeds which will guarantee us entry into paradise at its first instance is not only a few good deeds. It is not only performing salah. It is not only reciting the Quran. It is not only discharging zakah. Al-amalu salih means carrying out all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So good deeds by way of fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And good deeds by way of abstaining from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person fulfills the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he abstains from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he follows the do's and he abstains from the don'ts, then he has al-amal al-salih. When a person has iman and he has al-amal al-salih as explained, then for him is this promise of Jannah. For him is the promise of the blessings of the hereafter. For him is the great success. However, I would like to turn the attention of the listeners towards one very important point. Entrance into Jannah at its first instance is dependent on Iman and Al-Amal Salih. But to have Iman, which Alhamdulillah we have all been granted the gift of Iman, to have Al-Amal Salih as explained, this is dependent on something else. Something comes before Iman. Something comes before Al-Amal Salih. There is a key to Iman and there is a key to Al-Amal Salih, which in turn we can say is the key to Jannah. This key is the knowledge of Deen, my dear friends. This key is the knowledge of Deen. Without knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without knowing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, We would not have this gift of Iman. Without knowing the commandments of Allah, without knowing the prohibitions of Allah, it is not possible to have al-amal salih. My dear friends, the knowledge of deen holds great importance in Islam. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu would say, لا تكون تقيا حتى تكون عالما. You cannot become a muttaqi, which we can say is another term for al-amal salih. You cannot have al-amal salih until you have knowledge. So al-amal salih is dependent on knowledge. This is why our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala says that the knowledge of deen, or the knowledge is the backbone of deen. Like the body cannot stand without the backbone, similarly our deen cannot stand without knowledge. This is the importance of knowledge in Islam. And this is why we find in the Quran and the Hadith virtues of the knowledge of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in fact He commands His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the most knowledgeable of people, he was a'lamun nas, there was no one more knowledgeable than our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, قُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, O my Lord, O my Rabb, increase me in knowledge. And we do not find in the Holy Quran, with regards to any other aspect of our deen, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the believers, have been commanded to ask more of, to ask for an increase in. This is only with the knowledge of deen. In the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, من خرج في طلب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع. The person who leaves his house with an intention to acquire the knowledge of deen. So today we left our homes. We came to attend this program at the Islamic Dawah Academy. And our intention was that we are going to acquire the knowledge of deen. We are going to increase our knowledge. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, من خرج في طلب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع. That person who leaves his house with this intention to acquire the knowledge of deen, he is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he returns home. In another hadith, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. That person who treads a path seeking the knowledge of deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this acquisition of knowledge makes the path to Jannah easy for him. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi states, وَفِيهِ إِيمَاءٌ إلى أن طرق الجنة محصورة في طرق العلم. There is an indication in this hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the paths to Jannah are confined to the paths of knowledge. Without having knowledge, a person cannot tread on the path to Jannah. He further says, لأن العمل الصالح لا يتصور بغير العلم. Because al-amal al-salih cannot be formed or cannot be imagined without the knowledge of deen. Without the knowledge of deen, there is no possibility of al-amal al-salih. And if there is no possibility of al-amal al-salih, then how will we tread this path to Jannah? Due to this importance of the knowledge of deen, and due to this value of the knowledge of deen, and due to the need of this knowledge of deen, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. What is the status of the knowledge of deen in Islam? Is it something which is just preferable? Is it something that we should only just try to do if you can, if you get time, if you can fit it into our schedule? Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the acquisition of the knowledge of deen is an obligatory act. فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ is necessary upon every Muslim. This means that that amount of knowledge which a person requires in his daily life to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to abstain from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is necessary upon each and every Muslim to make an effort to acquire this knowledge. And this is why we find in the lives of our pious predecessors, because they had the value of knowledge in their hearts. They understood the need of this knowledge. We find many incidents from our pious predecessors, how they used to travel to acquire this knowledge of deen. What hardship and sacrifices they would go through to acquire this knowledge of deen. The great Imam, Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, the leader of the believers in the field of Hadith. We are all familiar with the name, Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. His book, which holds the status of being the most authentic book after the Quran, أَصَحُّ الْكُتُبِ بَعْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. To acquire this amount of knowledge, or to attain this status in the field of Hadith, he made such sacrifice, that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala himself says that such times came upon Imam Bukhari rahimahullah that he would have to chew upon leaves to survive. Imam Baqi bin Makhlad rahimahullah ta'ala, another great Imam, because he understood the value of the knowledge of deen, he traveled from Spain all the way to Baghdad. This was not a time where he could fly to Baghdad. He could go by boat to Baghdad, or he can use some form of transport which will make him reach there quickly. He went to Baghdad by foot. And when he came close to Baghdad, he met another great muhaddith and Imam Yahya bin Ma'in rahimahullahu ta'ala. Imam Yahya bin Ma'in rahimahullahu ta'ala told Imam Baqi bin Makhlad, who wanted to go and acquire this knowledge from the great Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. So Imam Yahya bin Ma'in rahimahullahu ta'ala informed him that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala is under house arrest. He is not allowed to teach anyone deen, or he's not allowed to narrate any hadith to anyone. Imam Baqi bin Makhlad, because he had this zeal for the knowledge of deen, he continued on his journey. That possibly I may still be able to acquire this hadith of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He reached the house of the great Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala. He knocked on the door. He informed Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah that I have traveled all the way from Spain
to hear the hadith of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from you. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala informed him of the reality that at this moment I am not able to narrate the hadith. Because he understood the value of this knowledge. Because he understood or he felt this need of this knowledge. He said that there are beggars living in this area who go and knock on the door of people to ask for money. I will live as a beggar in this area. And every day I will come and knock on your door just to hear a hadith of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he lived in this way. He used to wrap a cloth around his head, walk around with a stick, looking like a beggar. Why? Because he felt the need. He had the zeal. He understood the value of acquiring the knowledge of deen. Every day he would go and knock on the door of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, and he would hear a few hadith of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear friends, from this, I'm sure this must have created some value of the knowledge of deen in our hearts. And yes, there are many avenues of acquiring a knowledge of deen, especially in the time we are living in. The knowledge of deen is very easily accessible. A person can acquire the knowledge of deen through the internet, by the click of a button, the press of a mouse. A lot of information comes before him. A lot of knowledge with regards to deen comes in before him. But it is very, very important, my dear friends, that we adopt the right method of acquiring this knowledge. This is why Imam Muhammad bin Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala states, "Inna hadha al-ilma deen," that verily this knowledge is deen. This knowledge is deen. Because the knowledge you acquire, you will act upon. And this will become your deen. So verily this knowledge is deen. فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. So be very careful from who you take this knowledge. My dear friends, as the knowledge of deen is very easily accessible over the internet, over the social media, we find many articles with regards to the deen. We find many different authors. We find many different speakers on the internet. We are not weary of who we are listening to. We are not weary of who we are taking this knowledge from. We are not aware of the aqidah and the belief of this person who we are acquiring this knowledge from. This very knowledge which is meant to be guidance for us. If this is not the correct knowledge, then this will not be guidance for us. This will be a means of misleading us. Instead of this being a path to Jannah, this could become a path to Jahannam, my dear friends. My dear friends, let us be careful from who we take this knowledge from. It has been narrated in a hadith. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. That the knowledge of deen is through learning. The knowledge of deen is through learning. Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great authority in the field of hadith, he says, what is the meaning of this? He says, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ الْمُعْتَبَرُ إِلَّا الْمَأْخُوذَ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَوَرَثَتِهِمْ عَلَى طَرِيقِ التَّعَلُّمِ. That the reliable knowledge is only that knowledge which comes from the Anbiya, which comes in this ummah from our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or from the inheritors of the Anbiya. Al-ulama'u warathatul Anbiya. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam states that the ulama, They are the inheritors of the Anbiya. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they acquired this knowledge from our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a reliable manner. This was the authentic knowledge. The same authentic knowledge was passed on in every era. In every era, they were the rightly guided ulama, the reliable ulama, who studied under teachers. They studied this knowledge, they passed it on. This continued in every era till this day. Even in this day, we find ulama who have a chain which goes back to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So before we acquire any knowledge, let us look at who the writer is. Let us look at who the speaker is. Does this speaker or does this writer have a chain? Is he a graduate of a reliable institute? Has he studied under a reliable teacher? My dear friends, this is very, very important to acquire the correct knowledge. And if we acquire this correct knowledge, and we bring al-amal al-salih into our lives. So just acquiring the knowledge is also not sufficient. Acquire the knowledge of Islam through reliable sources, from reliable ulama, and thereafter practice upon this knowledge. This is why we find one incident, Imam Muhammad rahimahullahu ta'ala, once he went into the company of his ustad, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, to inquire with regards to a ruining of deen. He went and he asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, that if a person who has not aged, who has not reached the age of puberty, he performs his Isha Salah. Thereafter, he goes to sleep. And before the time of Fajr entered, he reached the age of puberty. When he was not in the age of puberty, or when he did not reach the age of puberty, it was not necessary for him to perform this Salah. But he performed the Isha Salah. Later in the same time of Isha, he reached the age of puberty, which now makes it necessary for him to perform this Salah. Does he have to repeat this Salah? Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala said that yes, he has to repeat the Salah. Straight away, he got up from this gathering where there must have been other ulama, other students of knowledge. He went into the corner of the masjid and he performed his Isha Salah. Upon seeing this, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala was overjoyed, was very happy that he received such a student, that as soon as he heard this command of Allah, as soon as he heard this ruling of deen, straight away he got up and he acted upon this. And he said that this student has a bright future. This student will be successful. So my dear friends, firstly, we need to acquire this knowledge of deen. We need to acquire this knowledge of deen. We need to have the zeal for this knowledge of deen. We have to have this feeling of being in need of this knowledge of deen. And when we acquire this knowledge of deen from the reliable sources, from the reliable ulama, we make an effort to act upon this knowledge. If we acquire this knowledge of deen in this way, and we act upon this knowledge, then we can hope to receive this promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرِ. Verily those who believe, and those who carry out good deeds, for them are gardens under which rivers flow, and that is the great success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all grant me and then you all the ability to practice upon what has been said. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
MashaAllah, Jazakumullah. Mufti Sahib has guided us towards some very important points with regards to knowledge, gaining knowledge, and practicing upon the knowledge. A poet had said much beautifully, he says, كل العلوم سوى القرآن مشغلة. Every knowledge without or besides the Quran is just a art. It is just something to busy yourself with. إلا الحديث وإلا الفقه في الدين. besides the Quran, besides hadith, besides fiqh and jurisprudence or understanding of deen. This is the true knowledge. This is the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam with. And it is our duty as Muslims that we recognize the importance of this knowledge. We see in this day and age that the majority of people, the importance that they have within their minds for secular knowledge, for knowledge which they are learning of course in the schools and the universities, it is more important to them than the knowledge of deen. Whereas this knowledge, it will only last us until the grave, and not even that long in most cases. The majority of what we have learnt will only last us for a little while. The benefits of it are very, very less. But the knowledge that a student learns in madrasa, the knowledge of the Quran and hadith, this is the base for him to be successful for eternity. So it is a very shameful act on part of any Muslim who disregards the knowledge of deen and its importance. And it is our duty that we set this importance within our lives and we act accordingly. And as Mufti Sahib had said, this importance of knowledge we find within our hearts, and thereafter we practically implement some type of method that we gain knowledge. No matter what age we are, we need to increase this knowledge, and after increasing this knowledge, practice upon this knowledge.